You know, we celebrate. That's part of the reason we are able to join together and celebrate the lives of those on Mother's Day. You know, as a pastor, this Sunday is always something I know we should acknowledge and we should celebrate, but I'm not always sure on the best way to go about it. Because there's always so much some complexity that comes with a day like this on Mother's Day. Now, on one side, we have the good things that this day is all about. That we get to celebrate and show our appreciation and our love for mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and the spiritual mothers in our lives. But with that also brings the heartache of those women that are no longer in our lives, that we once cherished, and all the emotions that brings up on a day like today. We recognize that not all of us have been given the gift of a healthy relationship with our mothers, or our families have been broken to do a slew of reasons, whether it be some sort of conflict, divorce, neglect, you name it. And you know, there's also women among us or around us who have never experienced motherhood, that have never been married or not able to have start a family or unable to have children. And with all the celebrating and the joy that today brings, there's also that hurt, that baggage and brokenness, because as we've learned here, we live in a fallen and broken world. So today I want to say, whatever your emotions may be or what you might be feeling about what this day signifies, whether that be good or bad, I want you to know that families are a created construct of our Heavenly Father. And here's the encouragement that I want to give you in that. That you can carry from this place today. That family is more than just blood. You know, the title of mom, grandmother, aunt, you name it, can be earned by anyone. It's not just for those who raised you, but show you the love and the support in any stage of life that you look up to and admire. I hope that as a church, there are women here this morning that you can see as your family. And you can celebrate and thank today for being a spiritual mother in your life. And so, yes, this morning I want us to celebrate the women who helped share, guide, and love and support us. But I want us to hit on something that can apply to each and every person in this room, no matter who you are. And that's the idea of a legacy. On Mother's Day, my hope on our time looking together is at the opening of 2 Timothy, as we unpack the importance of laying a biblical legacy for whoever we call family, through the example of a well-known mother and grandmother from Scripture. Before we look at this text together, let's pause again and go to God in a word of prayer. So if you would, please bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, for this opportunity we have to gather in this place and celebrate not only the special women in our lives, but the amazing gifts that you have given to us. And just moms and spiritual women in our lives are just one of those amazing gifts. Ultimately, Lord, we are so thankful for the gift of new life that you give to each one of us through the life, death, and resurrection of your one and only Son, which is the reason that we are able to have hope, the reason we are able to have joy, the reason we are able to have life each and every day. So Lord, as we look at this example of a godly mother and grandmother from just a shout out in Scripture, Lord, I pray that we would be able to see from the context around that what it means for us to build a healthy biblical legacy for our, not only just for our children, our grandchildren, but those around us, that when people would look at us, they would see that you are our rock. You are the reason we have life and live it abundantly. So be with me as I deliver this message. May your truth come forth. Use me as your mouthpiece, and may you be at the center of everything, and may your Spirit be speaking to each one of us in the ways that would be lift us up and encourage us today. We love you, we thank you, we praise you in all these things. Amen. So together we're going to be, as I mentioned in in 2 Timothy chapter 1, very, very opening of 2 Timothy, verses 1 to 7. This is a very famous Mother's Day passage because of those two women that are mentioned here, and we'll get to see why so many of us pastors land on this passage for Mother's Day. But again, you'll be able to follow along on the screens beside me if you want to, or you can flip in your own Bibles. If you pull out those red pew Bibles, you can follow along there as well. But it says this. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses the first 7 verses there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, before we start breaking down this text here, I want to take a step back and do a couple of things. And the first is I want to help us give us some context, since we're picking up in this beginning of this passage, to help us to understand the importance of Paul's letter. You know, this second letter from Paul to Timothy was written near the end of Paul's life while he was in prison in Rome, near the time close to his execution. And knowing that his life is nearing its end, Paul pens this letter, his final letter to Timothy, who Paul has been mentoring to lead the church after he is gone. Timothy was a leader in the church of Ephesus and had a strong relationship and mentorship with Paul, who he sees as his own spiritual son. And from these early verses and other places in Scripture, particularly Acts 16, we learn more about Timothy's family. It says there in Acts 16:1 that Timothy was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. We don't get much else about his father, but we do know that he wasn't involved in Timothy's life very much, whether it was his choice to abandon his family or that he died early into Timothy's life. But either way, Paul sees a need in Timothy's life and becomes his spiritual mentor and his spiritual fatherly figure. And Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, who Paul directly calls out in our text, are mentioned here specifically. And they play that part as well. And not only that, he commends them for their sincere faith that they passed on to Timothy. Lois and Eunice were among the first women that made up the early church and are regarded as strong women of faith from the New Testament. And it's their example that I want to focus our time on today. So now that we have a little bit of background, we're getting into there, I want us next to define something for us that I believe that we don't take the time to understand because it's something we don't often think about. Or in all honesty, it's a little too late when we start thinking about it. And that's that word I mentioned a little bit earlier, that idea of a legacy. You know, when I think of a legacy, and to kind of help us get a definition of this, when I think of a legacy, I'm always brought back to this impactful time in my life that I want to share with you this morning. And when I was in middle school, a youth pastor took us that were in a group of on a special leadership team within our youth group to a cemetery on a Sunday evening. And he gave us some very vague instructions as we got there. To respectfully observe what you see. And we took about 15 to 20 minutes by ourselves and near silence, looking at the headstones and seeing names of those who were buried there. And we noted that some of those were veterans, and some had died and lived. Some of those that had died there lived to be had a very long life. Others, their life was shut. Their life was cut short. But these were all people, as we looked at these, all people we had never met in our in our lifetime. Then after we took in that time to really look around and get a good glimpse of everything, and then we took some time aside to talk about what we just saw. And afterwards, after we kind of debriefed and said, oh, we saw this person that lived to be this long, or this person lived and fought in this war, our youth pastor said something that has stuck with me ever since. He said, each headstone has a birth date, a death date, and a dash in between. Each person had all three. But the dash is something that is different between all of them. Each of them, young or old, were given a set time to make their legacy. They asked us, what are you going to do with your dash? We're all promised a birth date and a time that God will either take us, will take us from this world or start the new one. What are you going to do with that time in between? When people look back, what will that legacy be? And so the important idea that I want us to hold on to when we talk about this legacy is that it doesn't begin when we're lowered into our graves at that end date. It isn't something we simply leave behind when we're gone. It's not our family name that gets attached to us. It's not the status or the title we've held throughout our lives, the jobs that we've had, but what we do with that dash in our lives has been gifted with those that come, or gifted to those that come after you. And church, our job isn't just to be remembered for being a good person by your loved ones, but to live and leave them a godly legacy. It isn't just something you should focus on now if you're a mother, a father, a grandmother, grandfather, but everyone, no matter our age, should have a desire to live a life that honors God and carries a godly legacy throughout the next generations to come. So the question becomes, how do we live out a godly legacy for those loved ones around us here and now? I believe this passage does a great job of, and the message tucked in beneath, gives us a great answer to that question. Because I first believe that we see from this passage that a godly legacy begins with sincere faith. A godly legacy begins with sincere faith. We see in the passage that Paul praises Timothy and his sincere faith that began with his grandmother and his mother. It was because of this genuine faith of his mother and his grandmother that Timothy became the man of God who was able to impact the church in Ephesus and the whole way through that legacy, the whole way to us today and beyond. Those individuals, his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, they believed the truth of the gospel and made it part of their lives. And better yet, they made it a part of the life of their son and their grandson's life as well. You know, that word sincere in this passage means that their faith in Christ was genuine, was strong, and it was their identity. It wasn't just something that they said or acted out when they came to church, if they came to church, but it's something they lived out throughout their daily life. They lived by God's standards and made it a point to model that out for Timothy as he grew up around them. We get a clear picture of this in chapter 3 of this letter when Paul encourages Timothy when he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know from infancy you have been, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." You know, for Eunice and Lois, teaching Timothy's God's truth wasn't just something they could do so that he would grow up to have good morals or he would behave, they could get through him through the terrible twos, but because they knew the life-transforming power that the gospel holds and wanted him to experience it as well. They knew the power the gospel holds to transform lives, and they wanted him to experience that for himself. And they started that by teaching him the scriptures from an early age. They invested time and energy into pointing him to Jesus in their home together. They more than likely read the Bible to him and talked about it with him regularly. But as impactful as it was, what may have impacted his faith even more is when he was a child, he saw them living that out right in front of them. And so letting your family see you model what it means to live a godly life will help them solidify their walk with God in more ways than you could ever imagine. For children being able to see you praying, you spending time in God's word, and you trusting him when life gets hard will help them build their own confidence in who Jesus is. And this idea of a legacy isn't just for older adults or things, it's for everyone. If we want to carry and start to even build a biblical legacy throughout our families, it has to begin with a true love, a sincere love for God, and a true, sincere heart for him. It demands that we be the salt and light that we have been called to be as followers of Jesus Christ and model that genuine faith around us. Does that mean that we're going to be perfect in everything that we say and everything that we do? Absolutely not. But our hope should be that as we live our lives around our loved ones, that we point them to the one who is perfect by what we say and what we do. So I want to ask all of us here this morning who call themselves and would consider themselves a Christ follower. Are you living a godly life, the godly life that you want to see in your family? Are you living that sincere faith out in your life that you wish so desperately that you would see in your family? Are you and your family growing in God's word together? And is it something that you openly talk about all the time? I'd ask you, if you search deep down, what is the glue? What is the glue that holds your family together? You know, those who do have had the opportunity to have children and might be raising them now or have grandchildren, you might be asking yourself, why start here? Why is this so important? Well, I've brought my kids to church, but isn't that enough? You know, as you saw from the earlier video, my passion for family ministry is definitely rooted in my time as a youth pastor, and I haven't outgrown that one yet, because I'm still passionate about this idea today. Because the reality is, and you've probably heard me share this if you've had some time with me, that going to church as a family hasn't been the norm for the last two generations. And some parents can see church as this place just to drop off their kids so they can learn good moral behavior so they'll act up better. They'll act better at home and they won't give me such a big of a headache. You know, they can learn all those good things and then I get to reap the benefits by just dropping them off and they'll learn. And for those who might have seen parenting and church in this way, I always give this kind of example, and I always gave this when I was a youth pastor as well. I told them to imagine their child's time each week, their week as a pie graph or a pie chart, a piece of pie or in a pie graph. Yeah. Each time slot in that pie is given to specific areas. Now, during the school year, a big chunk of that pie is dedicated to school, extracurricular activities. If they're old enough, they're teenagers in high school, that would be their job or their work. Then that social time that they have with friends, you got to put sleep in there because you know every teenager needs their sleep. Time at home, and then time at church if they go. And if they were to attend Sunday service and a youth group were give and take two times out of the week, which would be a norm for that, that would still be one of the smallest slivers of the pie that made up that week if we divided it out. And on the other hand, one of the biggest pieces of that pie would be the time that, you guessed it, they are at home with their parents. So my encouragement in that is that the time that you have as a parent compared to the time that I would have with them, if they came to church or in a youth ministry, is vastly, vastly different. But if you want to have your children have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, then that's my goal, and it will always still be my goal. I always encourage them, let's partner together, learn and grow as we gather and we worship together here at church, and also carry that out at home. Because parents and family members who have the most time out of that pie, that piece of the pie, out of anyone else, has the most influence on their own children. And now that I'm strictly out of youth ministry, and I guess the phrase is always thrown that I grew up and became a real pastor, this is a drum I will still beat, even though it shifts a little bit. Because I hear from many adults that their adult children now have left the faith, that no longer attend church, or that they're unsure where their children are at spiritually. And while every situation is different, and each of us make the decision to follow Christ ourselves and have to make that decision by themselves, I believe that one of the greatest ways that you can lovingly guide a prodigal son or daughter is to have a deep and authentic relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. Let them see the peace that goes beyond all understanding. Tell them about the amazing hope and love that you find in Jesus, even in the smallest of things. Share about how you are active in your church and how life-giving and encouraging it is to be part of the body of Christ. And if you can't share those things because you aren't living by faith, you aren't walking in step with your Creator, or you aren't growing spiritually, then in reality, what would make you expect that your children would be doing the same? If they don't see it in you, if they don't see how Jesus has transformed and renewed your life, why would you believe that it would do the same for them? Second, in this passage, we see the second idea that a godly legacy is rooted in prayer. You know, Paul, as Timothy's mentor and spiritual father, tells Timothy that he's in constant prayer over him there in verse 3. And we can attest as well that both his mother and his grandmother were in constant prayer over Timothy throughout his life as well. And so if we want the best for our families, the greatest thing that we can do is lift them up in prayer. That we can bring them to God and ask that he work in them and through them. And this is something that we see modeled throughout Scripture, where mothers and families pray over their children and have them dedicated in the temple. And praying for our family helps us to have the right perspective on aspects of life. That we place our trust in God for all things, including the lives and the salvation of our family members. It helps us to see that it isn't our sole job to save them. But as we live and we follow God in an authentic and sincere way, we place our trust in him. And we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts and saves and transforms anyone way more than we could do on our own. We seek God in prayer for those closest to us to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and lift them up in prayer, that his blessings would be poured out as they live their lives. And so not only do we pray for them, I encourage you to pray with them. That as families, we'd come together and pray. That we teach and model for one another what a healthy prayer life looks like. That we pray for and with one another, not just before meals and before bed, but in times of fear, in times of change, in times of joy, and make it a normal response for anything throughout our day. That we ask one another, how can I pray for you today? And then, here's the kicker, actually do it. Because a home and a family built upon prayer understands the reality that everything that they depend on comes from the reliance on our Creator. And the greatest joy in knowing that He has given us full access to Himself because of His abundant love for us through Christ's life, death, and resurrection. So I encourage you to take time to not only pray for your family, but to pray with your family. Pray for the ways God wants to work in your family, both here and now, and for those who will come long after you're gone. And finally, this morning, we see that our third and final point together, that a godly legacy is sustained by Christ. We find that. Let's look at the end of this passage that we've read in verses 6 and 7. It says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Because of the prayers and the genuine faith of those who came before him, Timothy is reminded here that the power that we have that carries us forward is from Christ alone. Paul is telling Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel that was ingrained to him from an early age and was the driving force behind so many prayers for him, but that Christ will carry him through no matter what comes his way. So what does it mean for us when it comes to legacy? It means that we can pray for our families. We can give them the tools that they need to carry out their own biblical legacy. But here's the greatest part. Christ is the one who sustains our families. He is the one who carries us forward. He is the one who gives us all that we will ever need. He's the one who redeems us, and he is the one who loves us. He's the one who gives us a powerful spirit of love and self-control, and one that is not of fear. And he is the one who saves and transforms us and those who come long after us. And so our job is to fan the flames. But Christ is the one who ignites them in our hearts for those who believe. So on this Mother's Day, here's a few takeaways for us as we begin to take our time to a close. For our moms that are with us, whether biological, adopted, step, or spiritual, thank you for loving us as your children. My encouragement for you this morning is to live out your faith in Christ and love your children as Christ does. And watch the ripple effect and what that has, not only on them, but your whole family. And for families, whether chosen or not, let's find ways to build up one another and together stand on the foundation who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray with one another, carry the load for one another, sharpen one another in our faith, encourage, share that love, and be a family. Whether related or not, let's be who we are meant to be. And for all of us as individuals, I encourage you to take some time today and thank the godly women in your life. Go to them, give them a card or call them up on the phone and tell them what their love and their influence has meant to you. If those women have now passed, go to God in prayer and thank them for him placing them in your life. And keep their legacy alive by living out what they have taught you. And find someone who you can invest in and what they have taught you, and share that with them. And may we all look for ways that we can impact the next generation to become healthy followers of Jesus Christ. What is that legacy? What are you going to do with the time that God has gifted you here? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in this moment. We are so thankful for who you are. The love that you give us, the opportunities you place before us, the systems you create, because we know and that the family unit is something that you have created, that you have blessed. You have given us the instruction to be a family. And so I want to thank you for the godly women in my life who have encouraged and instilled me and are part of, played an important role into where I'm at in my life today, where you specifically call them to that task. And I thank you so much for that. Lord, not only those who are blood related, but the women throughout my life who have encouraged and pointed me back to you. Whether a small short of time or a lifelong opportunity together, Lord, I thank you for placing them in my path. And so on this day that's filled with so much emotion, so much highs and lows, Lord, I pray, Lord, we'd be able to seek comfort in you, knowing that you love us, that you care for us, and you have called us to be part of your family. And through your son's life, his death, and resurrection, that we can have spiritual mothers, that we can have aunts and grandmothers that make up and fill in those places where we missed out and the opportunities. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that follows you, that we would ask ourselves a question. What legacy are we living now that we will leave behind? Is it one that is marked by your truth and your love? Or is something, a path that we've carved out on our own that looks different from what you have called us to? Lord, I pray for families, those that are among us, those that are that have relationship struggles, those in families that may not be following you. Use each one of us to encourage, to instill, to pray for, to pray with, that we would be shining lights of your hope and your love to each one around us. May it start in our families and build out that circle of influence, build further and further for your kingdom. So we love you, we thank you, we praise you in all of these things. Amen.